Hey y'all, DJ Louis here, just dropping a preview of our latest Pop Pantheon All Access show. As I'm sure many of you know, we had a sold out show last night at the Bell House in Brooklyn, where 400 people came out to see myself, Rolling Stones, Britney Spanos, every single album's Nora Princiati, and Hung Up's Hunter Harris discuss Taylor Swift's 11th studio album, The Tortured Poets Department, which dropped last week. We're talking everything about the record, what it's about, the major themes, the aesthetics, Jack Antonoff, and what's working for us and what's not. And then we're pivoting to talk about the broader state of Taylor's current unprecedented or nearly unprecedented imperial phase, how it happened, why she's the pop star she is right now, and whether there's any chance this gets any bigger or if we're getting to the end or the peak of this moment for Taylor. It was one of the greatest nights ever. The conversation was amazing. We had the best time. So I'm dropping a preview of it here. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, you can subscribe at patreon.com/poppantheon, or you can click the link in the show notes of this episode, or you can subscribe directly in the Apple Podcasts app for the audio only of this and all of our bonus content, which includes weekly bonus episodes of this show. So without further ado, here is Pop Pantheon Live, or a snippet of Pop Pantheon Live, Tortured Poets and the State of Taylor Mania, with myself, Britney Spanos, Nora Princiati, and Hunter Harris. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Pop Pantheon Live. I'm DJ Louis the 14th. I want to shout out Bell House, first of all, for hosting us. Thank you, Bell House. And I want to thank all of you for showing up. This is incredible. We're so happy to see you. And I want to thank our patron saint, Taylor Swift, for dropping such a concise album for us to consume in 4 days. I'm going to introduce our incredible panel. First, we have Britney Spanos. Britney is a senior writer at Rolling Stone and the co-host of Rolling Stone's brand new podcast, 500 Greatest Songs. And she also taught a course on Taylor at NYU, which I'm very jealous I did not get to take. We have Nora Princiati here. Nora is a staff writer at The Ringer and co-host of Spotify's Very Swiftian Every Single Album podcast. So, Nora, welcome. And we have Hunter Harris here. Hunter is a writer and a critic and the voice behind the incredibly popular Hung Up newsletter. So, welcome. All right, so here's what we're here to do. As some of you may know, an up-and-coming artist named Taylor Swift just dropped her 11th studio album on midnight on Friday, and then like kind of again at 2 a.m. on Friday. And we're going to spend the first part of this conversation digging into everything about this incredibly long, dense new batch of songs. We're going to talk about all the themes. We're going to talk about the production. We're going to talk about Jack Antonoff. We're going to talk about all of that. And then in the second half of the conversation, obviously Taylor Swift is having a moment right now that is kind of unprecedented in terms of just her fame, her cultural saturation. So we're going to discuss a little bit about how we got to this moment, what has led us here, can it get bigger, I don't know, and is there any chance that it might be slowing down, or is there any kind of backlash that might be fomenting against it? So just the state of Taylor Mania, generally speaking. So that's what we're going to do. My first question is, I just want to get a read from each of you about what your reaction was on Thursday night, Friday morning, when you realized that there was not just one album, but there was a second album. Maybe, Nora, you want to take that question first. Like, how did, was it depression, anger, anxiety, fear? Well, like, what were you feeling?
So first of all, I was told that I was here to talk about Charlie Puth. And so I've really been thrown for a loop, and I'm going to have to recalibrate for the next hour and a half or so. There was a moment when I saw somebody tweet something, and this was around, I don't know, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, it was 12:30, it was very hazy, it was very late at night. somebody posts something about none of the lyrics in the Spotify installation something, none of them are in the songs. And I just thought, oh, shit. Like, oh, God. Oh, God, I'm not going to go to bed. So, yeah, it's a mixture of a lot of emotions. Fear is definitely definitely close to the front of them. I think if you're sort of deep in the Swifty canon, you know to expect something.
Yes.
Did I expect a full double album? No.
Yes.
But she's always up to something.
That's sure true. And we are going to talk about how happy we all are about how much she's been up to.
Did you want like early reactions, just sort of vibes?
Not quite. Let's
okay,
save that for
we're
a
not,
second.
We'll save it.
I want to hear what Hunter thought about the second album dropping.
Oh, Lord. This is the thing. I did not listen to the leak because I had other things to do. And then I saw the Charlie Puth lyric going around, and I was like, And then when I woke up the next morning, Friday morning, and I was like, okay, let me press play, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I saw how long it was, and I was like, this makes sense from someone who said Charlie Puth in the first, in the first couple of songs. Like, we need something else from this.
You have a lot to say.
Yeah. I woke up at 6, like 7:15, I was like tired. Like I needed like a break. And then I went to work out. I was like, let's get back in the coal mines. Let's see what else she has to say. And let me say, from someone who, you know, listening to the first half, listening to the second half, definitely needed the second half. Like that was smart.
Yeah, I didn't realize we were going to be talking so much about Charlie Puth when I planned this show, I gotta say. All right, so Brittany, I want to ask you this question. How are we meant to think about the two albums? Like, that's something that I've been trying to parse apart. Like, is this a double album? Is this one album with bonus tracks? Are we supposed to think of them as one unified project? Are we supposed to take each side as canon to a similar degree? Like, how are you thinking about that?
I guess I'm just thinking about it as a second album. Like, I think that, so there are four bonus tracks that people knew about prior to the album coming out, right? Like, she was doing her multiple vinyl release again, where she had like a different bonus track on each one. And the bonus tracks are kind of like in the mix of the album rather than just like right after. Like, I feel like it is meant to be listened to as this like full second project, like the Evermore to Folklore type of thing versus like Midnights 3 a.m. to Midnights. Also just like the volume of it. It's so big. So I feel like I'm listening to it as a second album. But at first I was listening to it as an extension of it, but I was like, I don't know that it's like helping. Yeah.
Well, that was honestly my next question, which is like, in the last 4 days, have any of you landed on like a constructive way to consume this? Like, has there, like, because that's something that I'm struggling with, because like, I love albums. Like, I love putting an album on. Like, that's something that I've really enjoyed. And it's something I've really enjoyed from Taylor in her career. Like, I love putting on Speak Now, or I love putting on Red or whatever, and like really listening to it and going on the journey. And one of the things that's like puzzling me right now is like, how do I do that? Like, have you figured that out? Like, what's the best way?
Can I just say that we're all gonna be okay, guys? Like, everyone, she has us stressed. Like, everyone is nervous. It's gonna be okay. We can do this. So my method right now is I play the bolter, and then I play the bolter again. So I like, she's flooding the zone in a way where I think one thing, you know, we'll get there, but a weakness of this album to me is that it really needed an editor, and a lot of cuts were not made that probably needed to be made.
Sure.
However, there's an interesting source behind that, which is that once we're talking about Puth, someone had a lot of things they needed to say to get out.
Sure.
So I think people feel this. I get this a lot from people who listen to our podcast, will say like, how do you think Taylor intended for me to listen to this? And like, you can listen to it however you want. So I, you know, my answer to that is just picking out the songs that resonate with me the best and listening to those. And I think the 31 is more about quantity and just sort of getting everything out that she felt like she had to get out, for better or worse. Then I think there are moments where the sequencing matters. Like, I think there's loss of my love. I don't know how to refer to that song. I can't. I don't know.
We need like a track list, like to refer back to, like in our hands.
I think it's supposed to be loss of my life is how we're supposed to be saying right. it. I just don't know. That's for me to figure out on my personal time. But that then goes into, I think I can do it with a broken heart and then smallest man who ever lived. Like that feels like an intentional sequencing choice. Mm. 1 to 31. She's just blah.
Yeah.
She's just getting it out there.
But that's like a unique experience about this record for me, because I feel like Taylor's been quite intentional about making albums in the past. And I think that that's been one of the things that I've had a difficult time sort of like adjusting to this version of a Taylor Swift album. Like someone who has really taken the album form seriously. Like every album has had, and not that this one doesn't have this, but has had a serious point of view, has had serious thematic concerns. For a long time, it felt like they were advancing the aesthetic narrative of like her evolution through country and then through pop and then through whatever, folklore and evermore, you know, indie, like acoustic music. So it's kind of weird. Like that's, I think, why we're asking these questions. Like if we were up here talking about Drake, I think we'd all be in a situation where we were like, yes, we're used to Drake just like data dumping albums. But this is kind of like a new mode for Taylor, right?
Yeah, I feel like also just like her year was so crazy. Like it's following up the biggest year of her career. Like yeah. so much was happening in her personal life, in her career, in her professional life. She's on tour. She's like going through like 2 breakups and like dating a football player, which she had a lot of football things that she learned over the course of the year that she needed to do. You know, and she wanted to like explore that, I guess. Like it's just, there's so much on here. Like there's so many things. I'm like piecing it together in my head. I'm like, okay, like where are we now in the year? Like where, like what is, you know, kind of going through your head? But it is very fascinating, like how much she did sort of like brain dump into this album.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also, I mean, that's the lesson of The Vault, right? If you think it's a good lesson to learn or a bad lesson to learn. And she's gone through several iterations of a Taylor's version release where it's the album and it's the album as the statement that the album was initially intended to make. And then it's, here are my rough drafts or just other stuff that I want to put out into the ether. And I think mostly, probably that's just a reaction to sort of internalizing the economics of a streaming environment rather than the sort of more album focused prior business environment that she worked very hard to sort of capture the tail end of, but I think is sort of a capitulation at this point too. More is more.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I do feel, granted I haven't listened to it, like I've listened to it probably 4 times all the way through, but to me it sounds like the first like official release is like the more explicitly addressing Joe, Maddie, all of that stuff. And then like the anthology stuff, that those songs feel more like actual Taylor Swift songs to me. In that the writing is a little bit sharper, a little bit more precise, and it's like storytelling, not just like status update on my life, I'm on Facebook now.
So, okay, I want to dig into that. So you're viewing the first record as just like a throat-clearing response to the narrative, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I could listen to those songs and hear, this is a Joe song, it's good. This is a Maddie song, skipping. You know. Da-da-da-da.
So you're skipping a lot of songs.
You know what song I chose. Like, listen. Joe Alwyn writes.
Right.
Don't get me started.
Came here to hear about Poof and all of it.
All right, so what is this album about? I mean, I want to pose this to you, Brittany. Like, what are the primary thematic concerns on this record?
I've been piecing it together.
I know you've got the homeland string math
crazy.
Going on. So
yeah,
we need
it looks
to hear
crazy
that.
In here.
What is this record about?
It is about how Joe was not...
Joe was too sad for her to date. Like, that's what she said.
Yeah, Joe wouldn't get married, possibly due to...
That was just a preview. If you want to hear the rest of that episode, plus weekly bonus episodes of this show and so much more, you can subscribe at patreon.com/poppantheon. Or click the link in the show notes of this episode, or subscribe directly in the Apple Podcasts app for the audio only.